Kalika Furlay never really had a conventional childhood to begin with. She comes from one of the few liberal, hippie-type families in an otherwise conservative community in Chehalis. She grew up on a sprawling organic farm 15 miles out of town. And all the way back in third grade, something happened that would change the course of her life. It began when she figured out a trick in math class.
Okay, so third grade is when you learn your times tables. You learn your ones, those are really easy. Like, you learn your twos, you're doubling it, you know. I rote memorized a lot of them, but I would also kind of try to find my own ways to problem solve on my own. I started to recognize this pattern when it came to doing the sixes, eights, and sevens when I multiplied them by five. Okay, so it's for any number times five. It works for any number all the way up to millions and billions, which I have done on chalkboards more times than I can count. If you take, say, five times 16, typically you don't have that just ready to pull out of your head, and you don't want to sit there and count it out on your fingers. So five times 16, you take 16, divide it by two is eight. You put a zero on the end because it's an even number. The answer is 80. For odd numbers, 5 times 17, you subtract 1 is 16, divide it by 2 is 8, and you put a 5 on the end, 85 is the answer. So that's all that the trick really is. Really what you're doing is you're dividing by 2 and timesing by 10, which comes out to the same operation as multiplying by 5. Here's the whole catch of it, right? Is that this whole trick is something really, really, really simple, and it got blown, in my estimation, very much out of proportion. And so I went to my mom and I asked her how old she was when she learned that trick. And she and my dad stayed up at night trying to find an example where my solution didn't work. So they sat and, I mean, I stayed up all night doesn't actually mean they stayed up all night. I went to bed and they probably like messed around with it but the narrative is that they stayed up all night trying to find a solution and they couldn't. And so my mom, being the woman that she is and thinking that I am this, you know, special person, decided to go to the high school and talk to a math teacher there. And so she talked to this math teacher named Glenn Hunter, and he was like, well, I've never heard of that before. He did a proof, like an actual proof, which is actually the sticking point in this story that I can't quite grasp, because, again, as an adult, I look at that and think that this is so simple that I can't fathom how he ended up thinking this was a new thing of any kind or anything that was interesting. And then I forgot about all of that. It turns out that Mr. Hunter had written up the trick, but he had called it Kalika's Theorem. And he had gotten it published in a teaching magazine. So I got like a certificate. They gave me a copy of it. They took my picture. I like shook the superintendent's hand. So that was cool. And then I don't know what happened next, but somehow that got picked up by multiple media outlets.
A Chehalis, Washington student is receiving national attention for a unique discovery.
And that's where Kalika's method for multiplying numbers comes in.
It went by for 2 years, and I totally forgot about it.
While in the third grade, Kalika discovered an easier way.
I don't even know how many different TV spots I did. I flew out to New York to be on a couple of different shows. The local news programs came into my classroom. I got a letter from Bill Clinton. I was in the National Enquirer. That was another one that was like really stands out in my head. Like, they came to my school and they took all these math books and piled them up, and I had to like hang my arms over the math books, and it just was so absurd. Like, I had to stay after school so that the National Enquirer could take pictures of me.
Kalika says math isn't even her favorite subject in school, and when she grows up, she says she hopes to be a politician.
Well, that is really neat.
That is something.
Well, I know a lot of...
And that was dumb. At the time, I thought it was ridiculous.
I didn't do anything real special. Everyone can do it. Just they didn't do it.
To put her theory to the ultimate...
Yeah, it was just like this flash in the pan thing. But it didn't... I mean, I was from a small town, so it didn't go away completely. It colored my interactions with my teachers from then on. I mean, by the time I got into like middle school and high school, like when people would read my name on the attendance list, they would be like, oh, are you the math girl? And I'd be like, yes, I am. you know, like first impressions are everything. And I had a first impression with every teacher that was positive no matter what. I think it made it so I was going into academic settings in which there was already an expectation for success that wasn't necessarily there. I mean, my teacher in fifth grade, so if you didn't turn in your homework, you were supposed to get a pink slip. And then if you had a pink slip, you had to go to the library to work on homework during lunch. That's a reasonable thing to do. I absolutely never did my homework. I just didn't. And I never got a pink slip. When it would be time to turn in homework, I would say, I don't have my homework. And she'd be like, well, I'm sure you'll get it done tonight. Fifth grade was like kind of right on the cusp, right? It's right before middle school. It's right on the cusp of learning how to like really have those organizational skills, like really like apply yourself. And I think unfortunately what I learned from that were negative lessons instead of positive lessons. I think that I unfortunately learned that I didn't have to work hard because I could skate by with these other things that were known about me. I remember in grade school, I was told, like, when you get to middle school, then you'll have to work hard. And then when I was in middle school, they're like, when you get to high school, then that will be when you work hard. And, you know, it went all the way along, all the way up to my master's, and I still have yet to put myself in an academic position where I have to work really hard at something. And I'm not saying that to say that I am so intelligent that academics are not hard for me. I am saying that what I have done in a lot of ways is I have kind of found myself doing things that come easily to me. I mean, even grad school, I was like, well, I want my master's degree because that seems like a thing I want. Oh, well, this program, I have all the requisites for. I don't have to take the GRE. Well, I guess I'm going to do that. Right, I've found myself in the career that I am in based solely on the fact that I wanted a master's degree and this was an easy master's program to get into. I am a social worker, so as far from math as you can get, which, I mean, I love my life, but it's definitely a different life than had I gone into a more math and science-based realm. I mean, I think back, if I could go back and do everything again, as ridiculous as it sounds, I would love to do like civil engineering specifically with a focus on traffic. I would love to study traffic patterns in a mathematical context. And because I never pushed myself in like the maths and stuff like that, that's not something that I could ever go back, like do unless I was able to go back to the beginning of high school and like really apply myself. I also have spent the last 10 years working in behavioral health, specifically with kids. I think that pride should be instilled in kids for their effort rather than their output. So I see you're working on your math, and then the kid looks up and smiles. I see that you're smiling. You must be really proud of yourself. Helping them create internal motivation versus external motivation. And I think I had a lot of external motivation because I did this math thing, right? Where it became more about how people saw my success or my failure and less about how I felt about it or whether or not I was actually genuinely successful or failing. One thing that I think is really, really funny is how mad people are about the new math that is being taught now as part of Common Core. But what I believe with that, and I know it's hard for someone who hasn't learned it, but starting with kindergarten on the way up, what they are teaching kids to do is to see patterns the way that I did. What they are teaching is instead of learning rote memorization of math, which is what we were all taught, they are teaching kids how to actually problem solve. They are teaching kids that deeper level of understanding with problem solving that I wish I had allowed myself to delve into rather than staying at the surface. And so I think like something like this is so much more common with kids today because they're taught multiple ways of coming up with the same answer, which adults now think is stupid. But really, if you learn multiple ways of solving any problem, that is applicable to all subjects, that is applicable to all things you will face in your life. And I love that the kids today are being taught that in incremental building blocks, and it's like the foundation of their education versus something that they don't even start to experience until they're in college, which is what I think a lot of us grew up with math like that.